It's almost 6 a.m. Friday morning. I'm in Budapest, and it looks like a nice day today. I'm just making preparations now to leave for Paris. Yesterday's festival is really a wonderful occasion. You heard me at the beginning, but it went on throughout the day up until 7 o'clock in the evening. Thousands and thousands of people came. So many books went out just at the bookstall on which I was sitting. Well, I wasn't responsible for all that as I was doing other things, but we sold about $400 worth of books and had a nice wedding. There was unbelievable preaching going on. We ran out of everything that was edible, including cups and plates. Devotees were in ecstasy. The guests were in ecstasy. It could possibly be the first Krishna conscious town in Hungary again. But I have to thank Chaitanya Chandrabhu and Manaram, who, I don't know, we met a few weeks ago, and they convinced me that this medium that we're now calling a podcast would be a really good way to keep in touch with devotees. And I have to admit that it is. I get so many letters of encouragement and notes from devotees all over the world. And when I see that devotees are listening to these from India to Mexico, United States, the UK, a lot of them here in Hungary, and about an average of 150 devotees a day, at least that's how many are downloading, and I don't know how many are there looking behind every computer. I think the purpose for which these podcasts were undertaken, namely to keep in touch with devotees I don't see so often, seems to be really bearing fruit. So a real thanks to Chaitanya Chandra and Manaram Prabhu. It took them a little psychological barrier to get over using this machine, but now I've been properly programmed, and it's working like a charm. I don't really know how I'm going to be continuing doing this in France. I on my mobile phone in France, but sending these messages to the wherever server or wherever it goes on to the internet site usually takes 45 minutes to an hour, and to do that from my telephone would really cost a lot of Lakshmi. But Chaitanya Chandra will be with me there for the week that I'm in Paris, and he'll probably work something out. We'll go to some internet cafe and just send it off from there. A little information for the devotees who are in the UK or close by France who want to come to Harinam. Here is the Harinam information sent out by Param Gauti Swami. It starts Saturday, May the 6th, 3 p.m. sharp from Place de l'Odéon. It's on 126 Boulevard Saint-Germain in Paris. So there's a square there, and we'll be meeting there, the square of Odéon, Place de l'Odéon. And if you're coming by tube, there's one in Paris, then it's also the tube station, Odéon. That's O-D-E-O-N. I'm looking. Yes. So please come if you can. Devotees really need as much support as they can get internationally from Paris, and we're trying to sort of kickstart our preaching and our newly opened preaching center in downtown Paris. So if I've received information from devotees in the UK, if some other devotees in the UK can come, and just hop on a train or drive over. It's not really far away. You are all very, very welcome. And last thing is a question that's dated back already for quite a few days, and this comes from Sitapati Prabhu, and he's asking about New Brajadam. He said, could Maharaj share some of his insights into the challenges of establishing Vaishnav communities, his realizations on our strategies thus far on simple living and high thinking, and thoughts about future possibilities? We're considering, I've only got 5 minutes left to keep this to a 10-minute podcast. I can really make this very brief. Our experience in New Rajadam, which is based on a lot of work with the devotees there, particularly Gaur Shakti Prabhu, who's a very insightful and visionary person, is that there may be many versions of Varnashram and self-sufficiency, depending on time, place, and circumstance. In Hungary, we have one, and it works, and that's the main thing, is that it should work. Theories are good, but theories need to be put into practice, and practice should have results. The starting point is a very clearly delineated constitution on the rights and obligations of devotees, and the basis of that constitution there includes certain aspects like a very communal lifestyle. The concept of possession turns sand into gold doesn't seem to work very well for making impure hearts into pure hearts or into pure devotees, particularly when many devotees are living together in a community. The concept of simple living and high thinking, or particularly self-sufficiency, is something that we practice in a real way from the end of May or beginning of June through to the end of November. We live on what we grow on the farm, and that's quite a step forward. Of course, in a country which is snow-bound or snow-logged for 3 months of the year, and in which you only have one growing season, half the year being really quite cold, to have devotees volunteer self-sufficiency all year round will probably take place when they're no longer volunteering, but when it's forced on them by external circumstances. But it's certainly possible, if needed, we could sustain all the 150 devotees who live on New Brajadam at the present time with the things that we grow and the things that we also store in cold storage throughout the year. But the most important aspect of New Brajadam is Radisham, and that is that the deities are the focal point of everyone's life, and devotees learn how to love them and thus direct and center their lives around what is pleasing to the Lord. And because of that, they receive a wonderful reciprocation, a type of reciprocation from Radisham, which allows them to undergo austerities, to take up a certain way of thinking and lifestyle that isn't in tandem with the world around them or even what they've been conditioned or trained up for. So the ultimate success of New Rajadam is Samsiri Haritoshanam, is pleasing Radisham Sundar, and the blessings that they give, the empowerment that they give for devotees to go forward in different ways on fulfilling Srila Prabhupada's vision for simple living and high thinking, and inspiring the devotees to continue on with that. Although it's not an easy thing, although there are problems, although everyone can't necessarily do it, and it isn't that everyone who comes necessarily stays, but there is certainly a real hardcore group and growing group of devotees who recognize the need to realize Srila Prabhupada's vision, and that this is the preaching, I was going to say the main preaching, but let's say one of the main preaching which is incumbent upon Grihastha Vaishnavas, that they should show the social framework in which Krishna consciousness can be best practiced, and that requires as much, if not more, austerity than the Sankirtan book distribution, Harinam, that Brahmacharis, Brahmacharinis undergo on the streets of the world. So, Sitapati, I hope that answers some things, although we could certainly go on for a lot longer, but I won't, and I'm over 11 minutes as it is. Whoever we are, whether we're Brahmacharis, Brahmacharinis, Grihasthas, Sannyasis, Tapasya is our duty, because without Tapasya, Krishna consciousness doesn't work. And I'm going to read one verse, one of my favorites, which relates to the Tapasya of giving Krishna consciousness to others. This was spoken by Shukadeva Goswami about Lord Shiva when he drank the ocean of poison. It's wonderful. If you can memorize it, it gives you chills up your spine and gives inspiration under all circumstances. Tapyante lokatapi na sadavo prayasojana paramaradanam tadhi purushadhyakilatmana. It is said that great personalities almost always accept voluntary suffering because of the suffering of people in general. This is considered the hired method of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is present in everyone's heart. Hare Krishna.